Again, it is a privilege and an honor to stand before you or stand before anybody to proclaim the Word of God. Never take it lightly. Wasn't sure. Told everybody that came out to the Blitz yesterday and a couple other, pray for me because my back went out Friday afternoon. So, but anyway, now you gave you enough time to find Romans chapter 13. Let's stand. We're going to read verses 8 through 14. I remember the year after I got saved, and I went to the Christian school at the church one year, I had to memorize this whole chapter 13. But some great verses in here, especially the first several verses dealing with how we are to obey our civil government, those that have rule there. But verse 8 through the rest of the chapter goes into a lot. Love, how love fulfills the law, God's commandment. Then the last few verses about waking up. So let's start reading this morning, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to the love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to proclaim the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, I ask you to move me, Bill Case, this flesh out of the way, and may the words that come out of my mouth be your words. Heavenly Father, I pray you do a work. Lord, help my body and Lord, give me the strength. And Heavenly Father, may the Christians here be built up. And Lord, if there is one here that do not know you, even though this is not totally a salvation message, we pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit had room to work in their heart. Have your way now this service, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Simply would call it, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's time that we as Christians, we wake up. You know, we want America back. We want to make the slogan this year for it, we're going to make America great again. We want to make America great again. People want to take America back. People want to make America, or let me put it this way. Some people want to make America what it once was and the way it was. People are fed up with the government. Most want change physically, economically. Some of us want change morality-wise and even fewer or less maybe spiritually. They say this election that's going to be coming up this fall is going to be probably the most important election. And one of the main reasons they said that is because of Supreme Court justices. And putting them in place. But I think every time we have a chance to vote, every election, locally, state, federal, they're all important. And as Christians, we should always be voting. We should always be voting. And don't vote with your, you know, what will be better for you economically. Vote what's right morally and trust God. We should vote. If you don't vote, don't complain. I do believe we're getting I really believe we're getting judgment of God. And honestly, I don't believe, you know, I believe God's holding back some of the judgment because I think it could be a whole, a lot worse, amen? But we are getting some of the judgment of God. And rightly so. I think what we need, if we still can, turn the tide, turn the ship back around, or you know, change course. If not, we are going to be gone as America. Many want to change the White House, or they want to change the government house, the Capitol. But I first believe it needs to be done in the church house, and more specifically, in my own house. And you should be thinking that way with your house. What can I do? How can I change? What can I do to make me a better Christian? That I could be a brighter light to my friends, to my families, to my co-workers, to my neighbors. What can you do? What can bring us closer? We were built, and our nation was built on God, amen? Pastor teaching this with Sunday school. Our nation was built on God, our country. And we had a great beginning. You know, you think about all the history and for all those years that God kept America covered up. And didn't let people know about it until after the Reformation, 1517, the Great Awakening back in the day where there and how they finally discover America and they came over here and how for religious freedom, how America was found. I want America to change routes. I want America to head back towards God. We're a freight train heading the wrong direction. And I down the road, the bridge is out. And if someone ain't there to get the train to stop or get the car to stop, it's going to go off the cliff. We as Christians need to be that light. We need to stand. We were people who wants to fear God. That had reverence. What happened? What has happened in America? Because we let some say separation of church and state, and we should stay out of the affairs of the state, and we shouldn't not. And the church, the pulpits, the church, the pews, has went quiet, and people did not proclaim Jesus Christ. We kept silent way, way too long. We got proud. We have gotten self-centered, self-reliant. On and on I can go how we as America went the wrong way. We became like the Church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. We as a church, churches, Christians have become lukewarm. And we know what God thinks about lukewarmness. Not only have we become like the Church of Laodicea, we also are like Ephesus. The Church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, where it said they have left their first love. You know, you go to a lot of churches in America today, if Jesus Christ came in, you know, I'm not the first to say this, you heard several preachers say it. Christ probably wouldn't even be walking in a lot of his own churches that he is the founder and he is the rock of. We have left our first love. When we used to rely on God, trust in God, reverence God. But now, those are pretty much long gone for a lot of Christians, a lot of churches. People go to church today for entertainment. What can I get from the church? What can I get out of it? But you know, what do we need to do? Well, in Revelation chapter 2, when John was speaking back from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he told the church he must remember where they once were, amen? Then not only remember, repent. And then return. Return back to the old landmarks. Return back to the good old book. Turn back to the ways of God. Today, as we're in Romans chapter 13, I see God, and it was right in the verse you all read, in verse 11, that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Wake up. Simply, when you think of the word wake up, it's, I go right to the word turn. Wake up, repent, turn back to God. Now it is high time. It's like, high time. It's like, do or die. It's now or never. It's like, it's time to make your stand. It's time to do it. If you do not come, if you do not wake up now, it's going to be too late. It is time. It is time to wake up. It's time to stop sleeping. It's time, church, stop being lazy. It's time to stop playing around and playing church and playing games. It's time to get real. It's time to get serious for God. It is time. Time to get real. Time to get sincere. This morning in the message, I simply have four simple points out of our text here that we as a church, we as Christians, need to get real, need to get sincere about God with. If we want to change things, first we must look within. Don't look without. Don't look around. Change you first. Get you where you ought to be. And let your light shine brighter. Then after you're getting your light shine brighter, turn to your neighbor, your spouse, your children, and help get their light shining. Let's fix our house. If we were to be called a Christian, will there be enough evidence to convict you? Everybody so-called a Christian today, real Christians stand up. The real Christians wake up. And try to bring America back to God. It's got to be a revival. This summer I heard two different revivals. One started out as a Sunday through Wednesday meeting. And I think it was Monday night or Tuesday night. The Spirit of God just, the preaching service was an hour and a half, but the invitation was 4 hours longer. And they felt something going on there. And then they said, man, we're just going to make it go all week. And it went to Friday, and man, it was just going. They said, hey, you know, this is so good. They said, hey, why don't we just keep going? You know, the evangelist had to go somewhere else. Or no, wait. The evangelist was off, so he stayed. And it went on the second week. The evangelist had to go somewhere else. He says, it's okay. And there was other people coming, and we get other people preaching. And it went on for 3, 4, 5 weeks. And God was moving. Souls being saved. And this is in North Carolina, where they're being under scrutiny for their stand against the bathroom bill, the bathroom bill and different things. But see something going on down in North Carolina for several weeks. Then there was another one I heard out in the Midwest going on for several weeks. God was getting a hold of some people and say, hey, time to wake up. It's time to stop playing. It's time to get real. It's time to do something about this. Stop complaining how bad it's getting. And get involved and do something. This morning, 4 points simply to the message. Number one, we need to wake up. Wake up to the condition. Wake up to the condition of the saints. The conditions of the saints, the children of God, the Christians. Christians are becoming more and more like the world. It's hard to tell Christians apart these days. Between their talk, their walk, there was once upon a time where just to see how the person walked, how the person dressed, how the person talked, you could just tell that person was a Christian. And now I see people that have professed to be Christian and I hear them say they're Christians, and I see how they talk sometime and how they act, how they, and I'm like, wow. I want to be telling too many people that you're a Christian. But it's so sad. It's so sad between the standards and dress today and a lot of things. We can't tell the difference between someone being saved, being a Christian, and not being Christian. Wake up. Wake up, church. Wake up to the conditions of the saints. We have become lazy in our walk. Well, if I feel like living and walking for the Lord today, I will. If I don't, I won't. You know, over in our in verse 13, it says, verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It's so easy for me. It would have been so easy for me to say, hey, let's just stay home this weekend and nurse my back, nurse my pain, and just take it easy. But no, it's like God, I feel God has wanted me to preach this weekend, and the only way I'm not is if I'm not breathing. So, but a lot of people have become crazy, lazy in their walk, walking after the flesh, letting their flesh control. Yeah, but look, it's such a beautiful day, and I got so much things to do around my house that I'm just going to have to stay home from church today. And once upon a time, there was a day when Christians, whenever the door house was open, they would flock. They would flock to the house of God and be here. When they were having special meetings, Sunday night, Wednesday night, anything going on, Christians would flock. But now it's like, okay, I've done my duty. I showed up Sunday morning. I did what I should have done. Got lazy with my walk. If I feel like doing it, I'll do it. We're in this age and society where no one's going to tell me what to do. I'm just going to do what feels good, how I want to do it. And it has creeped so much into the church. And I think God is sick of it. It's not, I'll come to church if I feel like it. I'll come to church when I need to. No, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling yourself together. When the door houses are open, you should be in church. If you're serious about God, and when you should take every opportunity you can to be here and worship God. When I was at the state fair, you know, one guy was witnessing one guy. He said, you know, he came back this Friday. He got saved Friday before at the state fair. He was so excited. He brought a couple people today for me to can witness to. And so pastor was witnessing to them, and I was talking to him. I said, so did you find a church to go to yet? And he says, no, I really don't think I need to go to church. You know, he just said he just got saved last week. Yeah, but I just don't. I think I could do. And I went on probably 10, 15 minutes just sharing scripture and just talking to him, the importance of church and how you need to be there. You know, how they assemble together and how they help each other. Christians have become lazy in their walk. They have become loose in their standards. I do what I want to do. They have become lost in their talk. Like I said, mentioned already once, you know, just Christians, and it's people I know, and it's some people that have come to church here, and how they use God's name in vain. How? You've been saved, you're a Christian. How can you cuss? How can you? And they make it, you know, say, what did you say? You know, sometimes I put them on the spot. What did you say? And it's like, oops. Something's wrong. Something is wrong. Wonder why America's going down the drains, down the tubes, going the wrong way. Because Christians, true Christians, has left their first love, have walked away from God, walked away from the church, have walked away from reading their Bible daily or spending time with God. How does your mouth go back to cussing and doing it? Because what's going in it? What's going in comes out eventually, amen? And you're getting away from the book. You're getting away from the things of God. When I was in Bible college, 19, 20 years, I 21 years old, 20 and 21 years old, down in Massillon. I was there a year and a half. And then financially, a different thing, my grandma was sick. I decided to come home, and I came home. I lived with my sister and brother. I got a job, was kitchen manager at Friendly's. And next thing I know, work became more important than being at church here. And I started missing, and I started hanging out with friends there, and I started going to places I shouldn't have and doing some things I didn't. And it's like, and then I had a wake-up call. Like, two people, Dave Bullis is his father, and he might have been saved, not even positive he was saved. He said, Bill, what are you doing? He just seen my countenance and how I was different. You need, and then the final thing was my grandmother saying, Billy, you can go back. You know, there's nothing you're doing for me. You're putting your life on hold. You're doing anything. You can't do anything for me. I want you here, but God, you need to be back there because you're for God. And I had to get things right, but I know firsthand experience, when you start missing church, how it gets easier. And I know once you miss church and you stop reading the Bible and you stop praying, that things that shouldn't be coming out of your mouth start coming out of your mouth again. Stuff that you shouldn't be putting in your body starts going into your body. It's because you walk away from the things you know you shouldn't walk away from. The fellowship. I find it very, 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 very hard to sin when I'm in church. I find it very, 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 very hard to sin when I'm in the book. Stay close to the Bible. Stay close to your church family. Be involved. Be in church. Saints and Christians need to wake up. We need to get real. We need to get sincere. The time for playing church should be over with. It's time to stand up. It's time to man up. It's time to get real. It's time to move on for Christ. We need to look at the conditions of the saints and say, hey, we are wrong and we are failing and we need to come back to God if we want to change. Number two, not only wake up to the condition of the saints. Number two, wake up to the commands of the Scripture. Think about what the Word of God says. God hasn't changed. Amen? God hasn't changed. Malachi tells us God has not changed. It goes on, God has not changed His Word. His Word is the same. Amen? We need to wake up. We need to put priority on the Word of God. The Word of God said it, and that should settle it. It doesn't matter if I believe it or not. Because God said it, that settles it. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. Well, I just don't want people to get mad at me. No, Bible says wrong, it's wrong. We got to stop being nice or letting others walk over what the Bible says or what God says and what we believe with it. We need to live by the book. God's Word doesn't need our stamp of approval. I ask, we say the Bible is our final authority. Is it your final authority? Do you live by the Word of God? Is it your final authority? Or is it just your final authority if it agrees with you? Well, I agree with that, so yeah, that's right. Well, I don't agree with that, so nah, I don't know. No, is it your final authority? Is not. I remember I used the illustration one other time. One of our previous pastor here, three pastors back, Mrs. Brother Mungo. And I remember Brother Mungo getting up one day and preaching a message. He said, in the Word of God, well, if you didn't like he just read a verse or two, you know, something that was, you know, pretty tough, very serious. Oh, you guys don't like that? And he just took it and ripped it. Let's just rip that out of the Bible. And let's just take, and before you know it, what people believe or how they feel is based maybe on only half the Word of God. No, either you stick by the whole book is the Word of God. We need to wake up. Wake up to what the command of the Scripture, what the Bible says. We need to take the Word of God as truth. And where it tells us what we should be doing, obey it and do it. What we shouldn't be doing, obey it and not do it. What does the Bible say about salvation? What does the Bible say about salvation? There's only one name. Amen? It's only one way to heaven. You know, I was out yesterday witnessing in the Blitz and, you know, two or three different times. Oh, I'm good. Well, I hate to break your bubble, lady, but no, you're not. And you're on. And the Bible says there's none good. And shared with her a little bit until she's like, okay, I had enough. And then went into another person. Well, I believe I am. What do you hold that to? Oh, my being good, going my good works, going to church, and I talked to that person. No, Bible says there's only one way. Only one way. That way is Jesus. You know, last 2 weeks, pastor preaching Sunday morning, you know, what will you do with Jesus? And I've been using that phrase and saying that over and over again with many, many, many people. At the fair, at the blitz yesterday, last week, witnessing. What will you do with Jesus? R, receive him, or R, reject him? What will you do? What does the Bible say about salvation? What does the Bible say about sanctification? What does the Bible say about separation? God's very clear on salvation. God is very clear on sanctification. God wants us to live in a certain direction, a certain way in our life. Amen? He's very clear on it. Come apart, separation. Come out of the world. Separate from the world. Separate from worldly activities and things. He's clear on salvation. He's clear on sanctification, on separation. The Word of God is very clear on service. About serving God. Serving God, serving others, serving a church, serving. Will you wake up? Will you, as a Christian, wake up to the command of the Scripture? Wake up. Take the Word of God more seriously. Obey His commands. Obey His words. I mean, in our text in Romans chapter 13, you know, those verses, a lot of the Ten Commandments is quoted there. And he says in verse 12, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love. Love the world. Love the people. Don't love their sin, but love the individual. Wake up. Let's get back to the basics. Let's get back and follow Christianity, I say 101. 101 is always the beginning. 101. What is 101 Christianity? Well, you all know. Back to the Bible. Back to reading. Back to obeying the Scripture. Reading, praying, attending, giving, going. The basic five things of Christianity. Read the Word of God. Pray to God. Attend His house. Give to God's work. And go tell about Jesus. The commands of the Scripture, basic 101 Christianity. It was a good starting point. Get back. Go back. Number three, not only we see conditions of the saints, the commands of the Scripture. Number three, the consequences of sin. Sin has consequences. And I think that's one thing we don't think about. I'm enjoying my sin. We got too many Christians, proclaiming Christians, people that are in church, living one way on Sunday, living a whole different way during the week. More or less, they're playing church. Why? Because they don't take God's word serious. They don't take the consequences of sin seriously. Well, it's no big deal. Yes, it is. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And God takes sin seriously. When we need to start seeing sin as God sees sin, start taking it more serious. This goes from the pulpit to the pews. We all need to take the consequences of sins more serious. In a lot of churches today, sin is not on the menu. It's all about prosperity. It's all about what you can get. It's all about what you can be. Well, you can't get, you ain't gonna have the blessings of God in your life if you're sinning and doing wrong, amen? Sin is no ordeal anymore to a lot of Christians. Come as you are, go as you are, or go as you please. God loves all and God forgives all. That's a half truth. God does love all. Amen. God does love all. And God will forgive all. Amen. Well, he ain't just going to say, okay, I forgive you, just do what you want. No, God has a way. God loves all. And the love of God covers all, amen? Covers the multitude of sin. But still, they got to come to God and ask God for forgiveness of sins and ask God to save them. Is there any sin that a person can do that God cannot forgive or will not forgive? Just the sin of rejecting Christ. God loves, God forgive, but God is holy and God is just, and God will judge sin. Amen. Sin separates. Sin separates. Sin breaks fellowship. And we need to take sin a little bit more serious. When I sin against God. The God that loved me, the God that gave Lord Jesus Christ died for me. When I sin, I break the Lord's heart. He did so much for me, and it makes me, I need to get to the point where I say, God, I'm sorry. And be really sorry and ask for forgiveness. Walk away from the sin, amen? Forsake it. God, I ask you to forgive me for this sin, and next day or 2 days later, I go do the same sin again, and you're not serious. Or, like our kids sometimes, when they get caught doing something wrong, I'm sorry, Mom, I'm sorry, Dad. And they tell us, and they say they're sorry, and then they go and do it again. They say, really? You just did this, and you asked me, and here you're doing it again. No, they're just sorry they got caught, really. As Christians, we need to get serious, not to get caught in sin, but to forsake the sin and look at the sins, the consequences of sin as God does. How do you react when you see others around you sinning and doing wrong? Sin has consequences. Positionally, we're not right with God when we're sinning. The fellowship has been broken. The communion has been lost, and you need to get right. There's positionally, there's pain for sin. I mean, go back. I mean, the Bible's full of it. Adam and Eve. I mean, how was it the garden before sin? How perfect, how everything sweet, how everything is. And then after, how did they live? Miserable. Adam and Eve, David with his sin. Yes, he got right with God. But sin costs. Sin's got to be paid. It's a lot of pain in it. There's penalty for sin. There's penalty for sin. If you die in your sin, you're going to hell. Amen. As a Christian, if you sin, you're losing rewards. There's penalty for sin. Some sleep early. Some died early because of sin in their life. You all should remember the old saying, sin will take you farther than you want to go, sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, and sin will cost you more than you want to pay. I have heard it. I don't know how many times I heard preacher preach it when I was younger. But it's something I have hanging up. I understand the importance, what God thinks about sin, and what God thinks about sin is how I should think about sin. And I don't want to go there. Amen? I'm not perfect. I sin. I do wrong. But I go and I say, God, forgive me. And sometimes I go and I say, God, why do I do it again? I'm sorry. And I said, sometimes I say, Lord, am I better off going to heaven now? But it's what's having dominion. Does my flesh rule me or does the Spirit of God rule me? And that's what I need to learn, and so do all of us. We got to die daily to the flesh. Paul said, I die daily. Sin has its consequences. Sin affects not only you. Sin affects others around you. Why is America in the shape it's in? Because of sin. And the sin going unchecked and sin around. It's time to wake up about the seriousness of sin, the consequences of sin. Don't let sin reign in your life, in your mortal body. Conquer it. Conquer the sin that so easily besets you before it conquers you and controls you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Great verses. Great verses to learn, to memorize. So when next time you're tempted to maybe do that sin again, you can say, wait. And you can quote back Scripture. That's a great reason to memorize Scripture. Because when you get tempted, and the Satan tempts you, or Satan uses others to tempt you to do wrong, then you can come back with Scripture and quote the Scripture. And the temptation, a lot of times, will flee. Last but not least this morning, number 4, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. Wake up to the cry of the lost souls. We need to wake up. What's going to turn America around? What's going to turn the church around? Is more people getting out there, taking their eyes off themselves and what they got to do and say, hey, we just got to make more Christians. We got to go out there and win the world to Christ. Amen. I know it's not us that win them. We're the human instruments that God uses. Amen. God has chosen us. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. And preaching is when we go forth and tell what we know. Amen. We need to wake up. We need to the cry of the lost, the cry of the sinner. People are dying every second. People are dying every second. As I said, people are dying every second. 5, 6, 7 people died and went to hell in a matter of a second or two. There is crying going on from the lost sinner. And if you can hear from hell this day, if you can hear the cries from hell, the cry would say, will you go? Go. Will you go and tell my 5 brothers? Will you go and tell my mother? Will you go and tell my friends that they don't want to come here? The cry to go. The cry to give or bestow. A cry to show the love of God. There's a cry to show God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. Amen? And we need to go to the world. We need to go and tell them about the great love of God. And how the only hope they have is Jesus. We must go and wake up to the cry of the sinner. Who will go? Who will tell? Not too long ago, I was at a special revival meeting going on, or really a camp meeting, and I heard the preacher once preach. There was a cry from within. People are crying from within. There's crying from above. There's crying from without, and there's crying from beneath. It's a 4-point sermon the guy had, and it was powerful, dynamic, and it just a challenge. Challenged me, numerous of other people there, to go and tell this dying world about Jesus. People are crying out. People are crying for help. Crying, needing. Now, not just for salvation. There's people hurting and needing a shoulder to cry on. Someone to listen to them. Someone to help them. Will you be that person that someone can come to? Will come and talk to and share? Can you be someone that you can, that people can come and get encouragement from and help from? Or are you just worried all about yourself? People are crying, asking us to go, asking us, do we really care? And that's a question I ask each and every one of us. Do we care about others? Do we care about their condition? Do we care about their eternity, where they're going to spend eternity in hell? I'm just about finished this morning. The condition of the saints was point one. What is your condition this morning? Does people know that you're a child of God? Do you live what you say you are? It goes right into number two, the commands of the Scripture. What's your authority, the Word of God or yourself? Where do you stand? How do you think? What do you think about sin? The consequences of sin. Do you care about the cry of the lost? Cry of the sinner? If so, our text again, verses 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time. It is the urgent time. There's no time like the present. It is time. It is time to awake out of sleep. It's for our salvation is nearer than we ever believed before. The Lord might come back today. If the Lord has come back today, are you ready to go? Are you ready to meet your Maker? If Christ was come back today, or if you were to die today and you were standing at the judgment seat, the bema seat, as Christians, was he going to say to you, well done? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Will you have crowns to lay back at the Savior's feet? If you stand at the white throne judgment, it's not a good place to be standing because your name's not written down. When you get there, you're too late. I beseech you, I beg you, if you're not saved, to get saved. It is high time to wake up. For our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. It is dark. Our country is dark. We wonder if we can even get any farther away from God. Well, we know we can. But how much farther? Can't be much farther more. And we need to, as Christians, we need to wake up. And we need to stop playing games. And we need to start getting serious. And we need to get real and say, hey, I'm going to get right with God. And I'm going to do what I can do to turn myself around, turn my family around, turn my neighborhood or my community around, and go from there. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Get out of the sin business. Get away from darkness and wrong and turn on your light and let your light shine brightly. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say you're a Christian? Then be a Christian. Live up to the name. Live up to what you profess to be. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for this flesh. No provision for this flesh that we live in. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. And that's the cry this morning, Christians. Wake up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, God, for the Word of God, my final authority. And Lord, like I said once, and I say it again here, I have a hard time doing wrong when I'm in your house with your people, when I'm in the Word of God, doing what the Bible says. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will take what we heard this morning, take it more serious, and Lord, we'll wake up. Wake up to what condition we're in. Wake up to the commands, how the Word of God tells us we should live and how what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And Lord, that we'll wake up. Wake up about the consequences of sin. And Lord, we'll stop playing games and get real. And Lord, we'll wake up about the cries for the lost. Lord, I pray you bless this invitation. Have your will and way now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As Beth plays over there quietly, if God has spoken to your heart this morning in your own pews, if you want to come forward, you can. But spend some time. It's our prayer that none of us walk out of here the way we walk in. Pray that we all...